This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Everybody back together for our regular weekly episode. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. And with the band back together, we have Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. And catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. We did a special recap of everything SummerSlam right after the show. If you happen to miss it, check it out on our YouTube page. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts, make sure you get all of those. Again, our YouTube page, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. But coming off of SummerSlam, coming off of now Monday Night Raw, as we await the return of Roman Reigns tomorrow night on SmackDown, the biggest question burning in WWE is this. Which storyline are you more excited for, and which one are you more into right now? The Bloodline, or is it the splitting up and the arguing over who is the right Judgment Day?
Well, for me, it is the Bloodline because it's still more layers to the story. We had the return of Roman that happened at SummerSlam. It was good to see him. The ovation was amazing in Cleveland. We have to hear from Roman and Paul Heyman and find out where Jimmy Uso stands. And Jey Uso, will he continue to be a single or will he find himself back into the story? And then Hikaleo's coming. And then Zillas Fatu is at SummerSlam. So to me, there's just more and more and more layers, Gabe and Brian, of this story. There's no shot at the Judgment Day. They've already drawn their line in the sand. What we're going to get here is probably some really solid mixed tags of Rhea and Priest against Dom and Liv. But I really think that there's more to come with the Bloodline. And can't wait to see it.
The only thing for me, though, that leans Judgment Day is with Bloodline. I feel like we know where it's going. We're going to get Roman Rock. That will be in Vegas at WrestleMania 41. We'll get the Usos. It looks like we'll probably get Sammy. I don't know where we're going with Judgment Day right now. Like, I've seen this go around social. Dom on Saturday turned from heel to more heel. Like, I've never seen someone turn heel as a mega heel already. And they keep hitting all the right buttons with that. And Rhea being the top of her game, I think there's just more curiosity and more unexpectedness when it comes to Judgment Day.
Now, I did see WWE had released a video of Dom telling some kid before the show on Saturday, "No, I'm Team Mommy all the way." And CM Punk's walking by, and he's like, "Yeah, no, I've run it by Punk. I'm Team Mommy." And Punk's like, "Yeah," because he knows if he turns his back on Mommy, he's... So I guess, you know, he again turned heel, lying to everybody still. But again, the Bloodline is more exciting. Do we think we know what the end game is? Yes, but we knew what the end game was for a lot of things, Bloodline. And it was the fun part was the ride along the way. Are Jimmy and Jey going to be folded back in? Is Sami Zayn going to find his way back into the Bloodline saga? Where does this leave Cody on SmackDown? So I think there are a lot more questions. The Bloodline is all... I mean, we know the players. They're not going to be adding... Like, Edge isn't coming back to WWE to, you know, become, you know, rebrand himself as part of the Judgment Day. Like, that's not happening. So that's kind of all contained within all of, you know, the players that are already involved with Liv and Dom and Carlito still, I guess, and JD and Finn Balor all being part of that Judgment Day, you know, taking on Priest and Rhea Ripley. So we already know all the players. The Bloodline, there's still a lot more questions of who else is going to be sucked into this Bloodline vortex.
Guys, you know what's so cool, Brian? The way that the cinema evolves in WWE, right? Because everything's about a mystery with them. You get nothing but the face of Finn Balor right on your TV, and all of a sudden the camera opens, and then you see the new Judgment Day right there on your TV. It's just such great television, right? Great mystery. Here's something we've never talked about before. I'm pretty sure we've never talked about this before. And after our show, the SummerSlam special that we did, we had some people on social media saying to us, "Well, SummerSlam was predictable, was predictable. Can I just say this? When you're a wrestling fan and everything you predict comes true, that means that you're right on target with the stories, right? Because the old Swerve Bro stuff happened in WCW with Russo and it was the shits, right? But like anything else, as you go story by story, step by step, if you can say, "Hey, I think this is going to happen. I think it happens." Now, because you're on the right path with the company, now you'll see what else is next. And along the way, there will be some twists and turns, but I didn't see it as predictable. I just saw it as we're all three of us are pretty right on target. And now we can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, but I think what we expect target and schedule-wise is there are going to be weeks where there is no Bloodline. Like, Roman's advertised for SmackDown tomorrow, and I believe next week in Orlando as well. Mm-hmm. But what happens between now and Survivor Series, if that's ultimately where we're going to get the big War Games or whatever? Like, that's the part that worries me a little when it comes to the Bloodline.
Look, and to go back to Jay Hood's point, predictability is not a bad thing. Right. Like, every once in a while you want those surprises. Absolutely. Like, I think of the surprise, again, being a Dean Ambrose, John Moxley fan, like the surprise of when he cashed in the night that he won and the pop that he got and all three members of the Shield held it at one time. Or, you know, I mean, you get the turn of somebody like when Seth turned on, you know, the rest of the Shield. And those are just the quick examples I think of. But when I bought a ticket to go see the last Avengers movie in the theater, guess what I knew was going to happen? I knew the Avengers were going to win in the end, right? Like, I knew that was going to happen. It's like a 5-year-old movie at this point, bud. Sorry. But like, you again, like, you know that James Bond is going to come up over the top, right? You know Indiana Jones is going to survive in the end. Like, sometimes predictable isn't bad. It's about, okay, what are the stories you're telling along the way? And just because we knew that Dom was going to turn on Rhea didn't make me like upset. Oh, I can't believe they do this. No. It made me want to boo Dom even more, right? Like, Roman coming back and punching Solo. Like, there was a little bit of, okay, you know, like, maybe he doesn't, right? I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing in professional wrestling. Every once in a while, yes, you want to have those surprises and fresh, but, like, SummerSlam, I thought, was a really good show. It was fun. Again, it was very heavy storyline, which is something that WWE hasn't always leaned into, but certainly are more in the Triple H era of leaning heavily into those storylines, even in the pay-per-views, which is why they're so, excuse me, premium live events, even, you know, even though there's only, you know, 7 or 8 matches.
But also that predictability has created mega stars. Like, we know where Cody is in terms of being a top babyface, but Priest, Rhea, Roman, like, despite everything that we knew, we expected Priest to drop the title. We expected Roman to come back. Those three are massively over right now, and that's with the predictability.
It's one of the few times, by the way, that all three of us and people that listen to our show enjoyed SummerSlam. And then Monday was a reset, like it was the next day after WrestleMania. It really was. Mm-hmm. If we go back and watch Raw, it's like all these things happening. It was one of the most exciting Raws we've seen, definitely since we've done this show, and probably in 5 years.
They barely had time for Bron Breakker. Yeah. Like, Bron got a backstage segment. Like, there were so many things happening. I mean, just imagine that. And it's not going to continue like this, right? Like, Raw's 3 hours. It is going to drag. I promise you, between now and Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania, all those, at some point it's going to drag. But to make, like, that Raw fly by as quickly as it did, and to be so packed at the way it was, and not have any time for your new Intercontinental Champion who was on the PLE card. Like, that's just, that's good stuff, man. That's a good episode of Raw.
There was hardly any time for his promo, any time for his match. He wanted to win that thing so badly. Apparently, he was 5 minutes too early. He ended that match. It was, I think it was slotted for 10 or 11. He was like, I got to win this now. I got to go off the ropes, close. Okay, done. I win. So apparently he was too soon on that too, but I just think all of it's fascinating. Both storylines, Brian, are great, but I just think that because it's Roman Reigns and people couldn't wait to see him and the anticipation of what he's going to say coming up on Friday, is Heyman going to be with him? What will Heyman look like? And then the rest of it too. There's just so much more. And by the way, with the Judgment Day, there's something there because Priest now is a clean, for sure, a baby face. Rhea, yep, for sure, a baby face. And now let's see how the rest are able to fare without him.
So here's the other thing. You mentioned Paul Heyman. The other thing that kind of hangs over this. When was the last time Paul Heyman was a baby face in WWE? Like, usually just by associating yourself. Like, WWE revealed that Roman was a heel when he first started the Bloodline. When he first started this storyline way back when he came back during the pandemic. By having him sitting in a chair, and then they pan up, and there's Paul Heyman. Well, Roman's a heel. Paul Heyman's involved. You go all the way back to when Heyman came back to WWE with CM Punk. He was CM Punk's driver. Oh, Punk's going away with Heyman. Clearly, he's a heel now. Mm-hmm. Like, so the other thing that just kind of hangs around this is Paul Heyman is a heel. He's not a baby face. So if he, even if he aligns himself with Roman, I'm waiting for the turn at some point for him to go back to the other side of this whole Bloodline saga.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back the last time he was a face. Like, you do have that part. I can't remember, unless you have one, Hood, like when he was a face last.
I do. I do remember last time Paul Heyman was a face. WWECW. Everybody was on Paul Heyman's side about how bad that was.
Okay, that's fair.
Everybody was on his side. Like, yeah, there shouldn't be a reboot of ECW, Paul. We're behind you. And Paul was just, you see through the promos how pissed he was. He had to be out there with the mummy and all the other stuff that he had to do. So I think that was the last time that he got cheered.
Now, the other part, like, as we talk about how good these two stories are, is it an issue that neither of these stories involve their two world champs?
I think it's better. I think it's better that the championship, because look, I mean, over on the Raw side, Gunther, Ark, and Randy Orton, hell of a challenger first time around. Like, it's a great way to establish Gunther. Here's a 14-time world champ who feels like he wasn't beat clean last time they faced each other. It's a storyline that writes itself. I am a little more concerned on the SmackDown side because this Cody run without the Bloodline has been meh at best, right? I mean, they heated up AJ a little bit, but probably could have done a little bit of a better job with that. I mean, over on SmackDown, it seems like the Bloodline just sucks up so much of the oxygen. I mean, I think, again, if you can find a way to separate Cody from it, I think it's a good thing because, again, he needs to establish on his own. But outside of the Bloodline, he's been at his best when he's been going head-to-head with Bloodline in WWE.
SmackDown on USA has got some work to do when they get there. That is for sure. You know, just right before our show, I went and looked at the SmackDown roster. Well, if it wasn't for the Bloodline,
And like you're talking about Cody challengers, if he's not Bloodline, the guy that would have made sense and could have been fun was Randy Orton. Like Orton turning on Cody, that could have been good. And now you put him on Raw with Gunther.
Yes, which we did not have on the scorecard. Right. Randy Orton against Gunther, because I could have swore that was McIntyre's opportunity. So they don't mind Randy Orton. So maybe it's babyface and babyface. Definitely Gunther's a babyface in Berlin, Germany. Everyone loves Randy Orton, so I think you could get cheers on both sides. I thought we'd get a heel babyface scenario for Gunther. Apparently not the case.
No, I think they showed respect for each other. Yeah, showed respect for each other. Good to see that, though, good to see Triple H keeping the long-held WWE tradition of the draft doesn't matter.
No, they said someone's going over to SmackDown. We're going to work that out and find out tomorrow.
See?
When in all actuality, that would probably be Jay and or Sammy so they can get involved with Bloodline.
You're not allowed to give us any more draft questions on this show. No more WWE draft. Never again. Never again.
When's the next one? You don't have that marked on your calendar?
No, I do not have it marked.
Is Triple H. It's okay. Right, he doesn't have it in his calendar either.
Just about matchups, you know.
Has no idea what he's going to do. Yeah, and that's why Bloodline also becomes, because does Cody have unfinished business with Bloodline? Is he done with Bloodline because he beat Solo? Does Solo feel like he's done with him? So I think there are a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to the Bloodline.
And because of that, Berlin will get Cody versus Santos Escobar for the world title. Congrats to them.
Something's got to be first. Someone's gonna be first on the card. Good opener, solid.
We like to dive into some other stories in the world of professional wrestling here on GKW. We call it the three counts. What do we have this week at number one, Brian?
Let's go over to last night. AEW Dynamite. Kyle Fletcher taking on MJF in a pretty strong opening bout. Let's fill in the blank here. Kyle Fletcher is blank.
All right, stop me if you've heard this before. Good promo into a good match. Okay, AEW, let's actually use this and springboard it somewhere. Because, I mean, this has been the Ricky Starks plant, right? Yeah. Good promo, good television match, and then, like Kyle Fletcher's got a lot of potential. Kyle Fletcher is, I think Kyle Fletcher can be a future star in AEW. He gave the passionate promo. We know he can go in the ring. He just needs to continue to have these opportunities to grow. He's a young guy, but man, this has been the AEW like blueprint of heating somebody up, of giving the impassioned promo, putting him in the ring against MJF, and then, I mean, he's going to be off television presumably for a little bit after that,
right?
That you know, attack at the end of the match last night. So I don't know. Like I'd like to get my hopes up, but I'd also like to get my hopes up for the Packers defense. I've also been hurt there before. Like I don't like, you can only cry wolf so many times, AEW, of, hey, this is going to be great. And then you just kind of get distracted by a new toy. Like if Kyle Fletcher is going to be a guy, then we got to start putting more time into it.
Also, AEW, the home of dumb baby faces. Will Ospreay, and now what we saw from Kyle Fletcher. So, Gabe, you're in a match against MJF, and I'm your partner, or I'm in your circle, and you're on the precipice of winning, but you just need a little something extra. So I have for you is I have a screwdriver, mm-hmm. and I'm going to roll that screwdriver in while MJF is down and out, and I'm going to distract the referee. So I roll that screwdriver in for a reason. It's not for you to tighten up the turnbuckle. I put it in there because you know that if MJF gets it, he's going to use it on you. But if I roll it in for you, you shouldn't care about whether or not you're going to be disqualified or what the ramifications will be or what the perception will be. I need you to win that championship. So that's why I roll the screwdriver in for a reason. And Kyle Fletcher looks at this screwdriver, just like Will Ospreay looks at the Tiger Driver 9300 or whatever the hell it is. And won't
Tiger Driver 91.
And won't utilize it. This is the home of dumb baby faces. Like, so you know MJF would use it, but no, I'm too good to use a screwdriver. Well, you weren't beating him for 15, 20 minutes as is. This could help. So now what happens is MJF is able to turn the tables and gives you a 1985 finisher with a brain buster and beats you. You know, 1, 2, 3. Dumb baby faces. Kyle Fletcher is a good hand.
And also awful luck Ospreay, the tires, what, 2 weeks ago and now trapped in the locker room this week where he wasn't really trapped. He seemed to get out pretty easily. That was an issue. But poor Ospreay right now.
I mean, if I'm Don Callis, I'm firing everybody. Like, I can't get through to anybody. Like, every time I'm in someone's corner, I'm giving you the tools to win. Nope, I'm a babyface. Can't do that. Kyle Fletcher, a babyface? He just earned more time with Sky Blue, who's ailing right now. That's what he did for himself yesterday.
Well, I think we're on a real path potentially where Don Callis aligns himself with MJF.
That's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. Very good.
It feels that kind of feels the direction we're heading, because MJF is going to do all the things that Don Callis wants the Don Callis family to do, but nobody actually listens to him.
So I also think we might go down a path where Fletcher stays with Callis and almost turns on Ospreay.
But then Fletcher Ospreay, who's going to win that one?
Right.
Ryan?
Well, the other issue also is Fletcher continuing to be associated with Callis, the same thing we saw with Takeshita. You lose all that heat and you lose all that momentum. And it's, to your point, Gabe, much of the same down the line. Like, Takeshita is killing it right now over in New Japan and doing his thing there. In AEW, he's wrestling Kenny, and then you put him with Callis and Callis gets all the heat. Like, we still need to see that next step when it comes to the young stars of AEW. Fletcher is 25 years old.
When it came to the Takeshita thing, like, again, because of the language barrier, having a mouthpiece for him wasn't the worst idea. Sure. They just didn't. I mean, he's not even out there with Callis half the time. Right. And I understand now, like, obviously he's not going to be out there now because he's over and doing the G1 Climax over in for New Japan. But I was talking even before that started. Like, I mean, I don't even know what Takeshita's batting average was, you know, every time Callis was out there. It wasn't high.
It was not. That's exactly right. Some are listening and saying, well, MJF and Don Callis, why the redundancy of two great promos? And I would say, well, if you really want to heat somebody up, you have Don Callis that's behind MJF, and they both can get each other over. And, yeah. So they're already over, but I'm saying, Jack, like, you want to have Dominic heat? That's how you do it with not just one guy, both guys.
Oh man, it's the CM Punk Paul, to bring that back, CM Punk Paul Heyman. When Punk, again, a decade ago at this point, turned heel by associating himself with Paul Heyman. Well, you've got two great promos. Why the redundancy? Well, you wanted to get nuclear heat on CM Punk, and that was right. The way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. I don't mean to be Tony Schiavone, but that's a good call, Taz. it is a good call because clearly every time that Don Callis pushes a button, doesn't work. Even Roosh took a pinfall. Shocking. Last night. Like, so there, and it had to, and thank God for the refresher. Forgot that Don Callis and Roosh are working together, and Roosh lost. So I think that Don Callis has every right to say, you know what, I'm going to go right to the top with MJF.
Yeah, and I think that'll work. And we know the heat that MJF's going to get at Wembley as he continues to play this up. He wrestled in Mexico this past week and continued to play up that American gimmick. And like Fletcher, we know what he can do. I've seen people saying he's the next Ospreay at this point. Like, it's someone, you have someone in your hands to be a star. Just do something with it now.
Can I just say, I absolutely love the John Philip Sousa marching band music after MJF wins. Like, it's just such a good touch. Like, it's just fantastic. Like, instead of having his music play, it's just like, to be a heel American character in America, like, it just feels like it's perfect. It just feels like it's really good. Like, as much as
where, like, he singles out the towns around, he's like, well, not you guys, like the rest of America.
Like, he just happens to be in the South. And shout out to MJF too, because of all the issues in the Mid-Atlantic and in the Northeast because of the storms, that guy drove 10.5 hours from New York to Winston-Salem to make that show. As a lot of guys on the roster, a lot of men and women on the roster, from what I understand, can't make it because I don't have a flight. He drove because he wanted to keep that storyline going, because Kyle Fletcher,
right?
He could have said, yeah, I'm not going to make it. He drove 10.5 hours from Long Island to make it to the show. So hats off to him. And I would agree with you. Go ahead.
Outside of Fletcher being the dumbass babyface and not using, like, they both walked away looking really good last night. Like, MJF still has the momentum. Kyle Fletcher is like, oh man, this guy, like, if you weren't aware of Kyle Fletcher and now you're aware of him. But again, it's trusting Tony Khan to not just get distracted by something else. And again, the list is long, whether we're talking about Ethan Page, whether we're talking about Ricky Starks, whether we're talking about, I mean, there's just a handful of guys on this roster that, ooh, okay, maybe there's something here. And then they just get dropped 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and especially because of the way they do it. It's not like we go through the roster and say, hey, what about this? What about this? They tease you, and if you know, in sports terms, they get you to the playoffs every year, like the Fletcher thing, the Hook and Joe match, you know, a few months ago. But then they don't win the championship. Like, they don't do anything after that. It's like, we're a playoff team. We got in. It's like, all right, that's enough. Like, see you next year. Like, just take that next step is the issue right now.
Yeah, and the thing that's frustrating for a lot of AEW fans is that you have a lot of different platforms to get this done on.
Right.
It's not like you just have one show. Hey, TNA has one show. All right, they got one show. So for them, they got to get it done in 2 hours. Otherwise, it's here's our taping of 2 hours. Here's our taping next week, and we get the next 8 or 10 wrestlers over. And then we recycle it again in week three, and we recycle it in a week. That's like, but for AEW, guys, it's no excuse. Like, you've got three shows plus ROH to be able to get talent over. And by the way, speaking of getting talent over, the way that you separate talent that have heat with each other, you put Sami Zayn, Sammy Guevara on Ring of Honor. That's how you do that. Yeah. If there's any problem, you just slide him over there to Ring of Honor. That way there's no problems and no heat in the locker room with him there.
Good reminder to cancel my ROH club. Need to write that down.
Well, you're not into him teaming up with the Von Erichs and the natural Dustin Rhodes?
I watched the pay-per-view. That was nice. I'll check back in a few more months.
Yeah, too bad that wasn't on. Too bad a replay of that or clips of that wasn't on AEW TV.
Right, yeah. They pick and choose when they actually promote Ring of Honor.
See what I mean? So you hide that behind a paywall. And something big like that, the legendary Von Erichs, they're part of the Iron Claw movie, all that. But you don't have time to put them on one of your AEW TV shows.
Putting it behind the paywall is not a, you know, look, you got to do what you got to do. But then not promoting that you have it, that's the negligent part.
Yeah.
That might be a WBD thing. They probably could say, like, look, that's not part of this channel or this company, so you can't promote it. Otherwise, we would see ROH Snipes on the bottom of the screen, right? We don't see it at all. That might be something that they have written in. Like, you want to promote stuff, it's got to be AEW stuff. Who knows? I don't know. But the answer to that question down there is Kyle Fletcher is a good hand
Okay.
He's a good
hand. Do you think he can be any more than that?
Yes, in WWE.
Are you sad for your boy Mark Davis and the run of Aussie Open?
I am sad. That's a hell of a good tag team there. Kyle, he didn't dump him to the side of the road with us when he came on the show right. with us, but he did feel bad that the man had a lot of injuries. I love that tag team, though, but Kyle Fletcher is a spectacular wrestler. He is. But in this company, you get lost in the sauce. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
What do we got at number two this week?
All right, Monday Night Raw saw the in-ring debut of the Wyatt Six. So get the pencils out. How do you fantasy book the Wyatt Six moving forward?
This is tough because I enjoyed their debut in the ring. I think it was really good. I just can't get over before I even start fantasy booking what's next for them. Like, I still feel like a sadness when I see them on TV because this was Bray's thing, right? Like this is a continuation of what Bray's vision was before he got sick and before he unfortunately passed away. Like we were starting to build towards this. We had the debut of Uncle Howdy before Bray got sick. And so there's that sadness that I see watching this group. Right. And you can feel that emotion, especially when you see somebody like Eric Rowan out there who, dear God, what that man has lost in terms of his wrestling family is unbelievable. So I have that. And then on top of it, it's like, OK, I know so much of that was Bray's vision. And I'm willing to give Bo Dallas every benefit of the doubt when it comes to executing his brother's vision. But I also... Okay, is it the vision? I mean, I don't know what they do. Like, Bray had this it factor about him. When if you were to describe what the Firefly Funhouse and the Fiend were and the juxtaposition of the two to just a normal non-wrestling fan, they'd have looked at you and gone, what the hell are you talking about? But with Bray, he made it make sense, and he made it all come together. He just had that. He just got it. He somehow was able to connect with the audience. And I'm fearful that this version of the Wyatt Six without him is not going to be able to do that because we've seen different gimmicks come and go and Bray just knew how to do it. I don't know if this group does. I hope they do, but I have to, before I even start fantasy booking them, I have to get over the sadness I feel every time I see them on my screen.
I think the first time that we saw Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, it got over. The second time around, it got real murky. Let's just be honest. It just was not hitting because we talked about it on the show, guys. Like, everyone wanted to have Bray Wyatt back, and he comes back. And there was a lot more Wyndham Rotunda than it was Bray Wyatt. And I don't know where it was going. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I think we were criticizing the whole thing with the Wyatts toward the end of the first run because it's the fun house and stuff didn't make sense.
They weren't paying anything off.
And then, a couple world titles that Bray didn't need. There's a character never needed a world championship. And Vince didn't know, like, give him the title, pal. Well, what does that mean? That means nothing to, because ultimately he didn't care about gold. He just cared about souls.
Right.
So with this, okay, so as great as that tag team match was, the end Raw, that six-man tag, it was fantastic. Guys, gimmicks like this, they're limited.
Yeah.
They're limited. It's a gimmick. Back in the day, this would have been a heel group, like an evil heel group led by like Kevin Sullivan and Mark Lewin and guys like that, like in Florida, where Broach is right now, would have been in Florida, terrorizing people because it would have been devil worship. It would have been something like that, right? And people would have believed. The Bible thumpers would have been believing, like, hey, you can't, oh, that's evil in your wrestling company. It would have called the police on them, right? But I look at this and I go, and I'll borrow from my guy on Busted Open, Justin Labar. He goes, you know, when I watch them, it's almost like a lot of these matches they should have should be like Undertaker AJ Styles. What do you call those matches
The cinematic matches.
Because in the ring, it was awesome, But then, like, after this whole thing with this new American Alpha, this new group, then what? You're going after Judgment Day? Then it comes, still feels gimmicky. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm glad that they're around. We've been a fan of Dexter Loomis. Mm-hmm. We like Eric Rowan. Bo Dallas is back. It's great. Nikki Cross. Joe Gacy has had a million gimmicks in NXT. This seems to work as Husk is the big boy. But then it's limited. Is that the top of the card in WrestleMania?
No, and that's the thing. Like, to your point about them being heels, I think they are heels if it wasn't for the Bray part. The Bray part, like Gabe said, is looming over it. They're sympathetic babyface in that instance. Like, I do wonder if we look at them differently if it's not a weekly thing. Like, we only see them every few months when it's, fight off someone that's done bad or something. Like, the Judgment Day stuff. If they give feed whatever to Finn, they show up on SmackDown and do stuff with the Bloodline. Like, maybe that's the only way to do it, is just every few months. Because I agree. I don't think stuff like this works in 2024.
I don't know where you go with it. So now you beat Chad Gable and his group. Now what?
Right.
Who are you going after next?
Like, you don't want to see them chasing the tag titles.
I mean, hell of a matchup, because I think you got a number of people that can go.
Sure.
But it's just like the supernatural, Gabe, is what we saw from The Undertaker and Kane. And we had to suspend disbelief. What's this? How is it different?
Yeah, and again, toward the end of the Wyatt family, when he was champion going into Mania, and they did the Vince did the superimposed bugs as he was fighting like Randy Orton. It's like, man, this match just didn't even need that. What I really liked about the version of Bray of the Firefly Funhouse and the Fiend, like it was deeply psychological of like these two different people that existed. Like, it wasn't the supernatural thing, and they did the weird red lighting and they tried to present him, but like it was this deeply psychological of this guy and his kind of split and dual personality. And that's why that worked. Since, again, then he was let go, and then he came back. And we had started building toward, with the QR codes, and he comes back, and we see Uncle Howdy. And when we criticized that, like, we just didn't know where it was going. And I don't know if they were just pushing it off. Who knows why they dragged it out as much as they did, because the QR codes got dragged out long enough. And then finally we got him. And then we got some rambling promos from, like you said, it was kind of Rotunda and Bray. But to kind of lean back into the supernatural thing that they were a decade ago, that part of it just doesn't work. It just doesn't. And I don't know where, unless, again, there's a comment here from Jimbo saying soon, Finn Judgment Day versus Wyatt's now that they've all turned on family. So yeah, maybe they are this kind of baby face-ish. They're protecting different facets of WWE. I'm not sure. But I don't know. Like, okay, you beat up on Chad Gable. Like, you really don't need to do anything more with American Made or whatever they're calling themselves now. Don't need to do anything more with them. So what's next? I have no idea, because there's no other group like this that you can go up against.
And also the fact that, we keep calling like Supernatural and things like that. They haven't actually done a lot of that, unless I'm misremembering. But like, they're dropping off the tape. They're doing the like spooky videos, but they're not floating and things like that, right?
No, well, not yet.
Okay, yeah,
not yet. I mean, so here's when you know that it is something that WWE doesn't believe in anymore: when this group takes on the Paul Ellering group, that'll be all.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down. I feel like that's what's next.
Okay, well, because now the whole thing with the, quite frankly, like the Proud Boys going after Kofi Kingston. That's what it feels like to me. That's what it feels like to me. Like, why do you want the soul of Kofi Kingston so badly? Right? Like why him? Why is a whole big company, worldwide company, them? Why them?
Hunter believes in that group, who I feel like none of us can name right now. Paul Ellering's group. They're called
AOP.
The tag team. What's the group called?
The Final Testament.
Testament. That's what seems next, which is evil versus good. I could see that as a story, but again, is that in your Survivor Series? Is that where we're headed? I'm serious. Like, this is no shot at what they're trying to do.
Right.
But guys, it's just limited.
Where does it fit? Where does it fit is the question.
Yeah. It's an attraction, yes. But it feels mid-card. No disrespect. It does. It feels like an attraction. And maybe that's where they're headed. They're all paid handsomely. It's fine. But I'm just saying, like, that seems like you could put a nice sponsor on it. You know, sponsored by the Halloween store that you put up, you know, for a month, and then it goes away in your local store and that in your local town. That's what it seems like to me.
I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, I feel like most people think this about Orange Cassidy, but then Orange Cassidy gets over, and we've seen the way he climbs up the card. Like,
But Orange Cassidy's not a future AEW world champion. Like, he is a solid mid-carder. And but if you need him to main event
as the champ, as international champ, like, there was a time where you're like, all right, maybe.
Sure.
There's a lot of guys in this group that you're not going to see as world champ or tag champ or whatever.
I'll be shocked if any one of them holds WWE gold.
Yeah.
And they don't need it. That gimmick doesn't need a championship. Bray Wyatt should have never been 2-time WWE champion.
Agreed.
It's only because Vince didn't understand. Like, I don't know. Give him the title, pal. It'll take on Seth Rollins in the darkness.
The Fiend never needed it. Like, when he got it, when he won again, when he had the feud go with Randy Orton, when Orton joined the Wyatt family, when he won at Elimination Chamber, that was a legitimately great moment. But the Fiend never needed it. Like, we'll just put up a cage and it'll be red and nobody can see anything. Like,
and he's indestructible, but he's gonna eat a pin here. Like,
that's the other thing. Then you're like, oh shoot, what do we do here? So again, Vince didn't get it, and I think that kind of held it back from its true potential. But I don't know. I am willing to give this thing every benefit of the doubt, but I'm just skeptical because Bray was special.
Well, I guess the flip side,
he could find a way to connect.
They're
still borrowing off of that. Like, they're using his and Bray's ability to connect with the audience to try to have them connect with this group.
Like, if it flipped, if they're heels, if they're on SmackDown attacking Cody, do you look at them differently?
Oh yeah, you're at the top of the card. It's like Nexus taking on John Cena. it's like out of nowhere, right?
Maybe that's the route.
I mean,
but did we ever get a motivation for why they went after Chad Gable and the Creed Bros?
No,
nope. Like, and if it was AEW, we'd be criticizing them for 15 minutes for that.
Right.
I still don't know the motivation of this group going forward. We got some good, again, some psychological videos of Bo and dealing with his brother's death and what that means. But I'm still looking for the motivation of this group. What motivates this group? Why are they together? And in order for this group to move forward, they have to answer that question first.
The Wide Six and the Final Testament, brought to you by Spirit Halloween.
And will it be glow in the dark match?
Well, of course.
That should be.
Okay.
Have to be.
Ellering's
still with his rolled up Wall Street Journal from '84, still holding on to it. Like, what
with
is
a glow stick in the middle or something?
he's got the rolled up. So, and I, you know, we are trying as a show to be trying to be respectful to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
but it's just that I would love to know. I'd like to be on a fly on the wall and see if there's 6 months of creative for them. I would like to know, and I'd like to know what it is. Like, is Nikki Cross, Abby the Witch, is she going to be a contender for any of the women's championships? I don't know. She should be. I mean, she can go. But has she been crushed from that terrible gimmick that Vince put on her as a superhero? I don't know.
That was a little rough.
Yeah, and all
God,
the
I forgot about that. I forgot the almost a hero thing, the almost a superhero thing. Oh,
she was champion with that.
Yeah, I know. It was so bad.
So I like the action we saw in the match, guys. It was fantastic. Know that it was fantastic. I just don't know like what's next.
Yeah.
So. What do we have at number three?
Saturday at SummerSlam, we saw Gunther become the new world champion. So who is next in WWE to win their first world title?
Well, the answer is Tiffany Stratton.
Okay.
She's currently holding a Money in the Bank briefcase. So I think the answer is Tiffany Stratton. But I put together, I'm curious to see how many you guys have on a list. I put together that has eight names on it, two women, six men.
Oh, wow.
That's more than me.
I had four, but you go right ahead.
Okay. So I also put Jade Cargill on the list. For she's the other woman.
So did
she's going to be she's going to be a future champion. Bron Breakker. Yep. Jey Uso, Logan Paul, and then kind of the longer shots. I put Sammy, LA Knight on there. And then I also put Solo Sikoa on there, where I wonder if, in order to make the Bloodline feud last longer, if it makes sense to throw a world championship on him for Roman to be chasing him more. So I put Solo on there just as a, I wonder if this is potentially something they could do as a storyline thing. And they put something on Solo.
Are you sure that's the right member of that Bloodline?
Cause I have Jacob Fatu written down.
Oh, okay. You know what? You know what? That's you're right. I should, let me cross that off here. Let's
I wrote down Fatu. I think
the Samoan werewolf.
Yeah.
He had his title shot, Solo. You're out. the only addition, and I did it for Broitz, along with that list, is Oba Femi from NXT.
I was tempted to write that. I just didn't know like what the timeline, but yeah, every time I see that guy in NXT, the guy can go.
Yes. So it's him or Odyssey Jones, apparently. who comes out of nowhere? Odyssey Jones. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure. All right.
Good reaction. To your list, I didn't have Jay on mine. Like, I thought about it, but, like, I feel like we've seen peak Jey Uso. Like, he's a WWE top guy, and that's it.
There we go. Just say the name so we can move on with the show. Just say it. What's on the? Say the name that we all know you're going to say. Say it.
Yeah, Sammy's written there. Don't worry. Sammy's written there. The true star of the Bloodline.
Well, there you go.
How can you have Sammy on your list and not have Jay?
Because we see what Sammy can do in the ring. Jay can get the crowd going the same way Sammy can, and then Sammy can go in the ring. Jay is great once the match ends.
Wow.
It's the old Bruce Pritchard. Then that damn bell had to ring.
Right, exactly.
I mean, come on. Like, you're making Jay sound like he was Jade Cargill in AEW right now.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
You know what, Brian? You're being unfair. Here's why you're being unfair.
Okay.
You are going against Jay because of that lousy WrestleMania match he had against his brother. And I just think that's unfair. Because
But when else have you had a great Jay so singles match?
That's not on Jay.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? He doesn't do the booking. He's like, you haven't seen, well, we haven't seen enough singles matches for you to be able to make that judgment.
We saw him with Priest in a world title match, and we were doubting Damian Priest's title run. We're like, maybe this isn't very good. And then Priest gets put with someone like Gunther, and we're like, oh, you know what? This is a really good title run. And now Priest is one of the top faces. Jay's just there. The kids love him. He's going to sell merch. He's going to get people going. He's better as a tag team wrestler.
Wow.
Jeez. Okay. Did we miss anyone? Did we miss anyone? Do you have anybody that you would like to add to the list here, Hoodie?
No, I think you nailed all of them. I did mention the NXT superstar. Jade Cargill, once she turns heel against with her tag
Bianca
team partner.
Bianca.
With Bianca Belair. I think that she'll be on her way. They really do look good together, though. Side by side, they look amazing together. But I think a turn could be coming. Jade Cargill, with a little bit more WWE seasoning, could be the women's champion. Logan Paul's interesting because Logan Paul loved to brag when he was champion that he only defended it twice. Could you imagine Logan Paul on your TV, say twice a month, like every other week, you know, just not just doing promos from his phone, like being in the arena, causing heat, and then being able to wrestle and just give his all. I mean, he's just amazing. Imagine that. This is not David Arquette as world champion. Right. This is Logan Paul that can get the job done, actually.
Yeah, I think he can do it all on the mic, in the ring. I think that would work stupendously. Like, I put him above an LA Knight even. Like, even though we
haven't
interacting, like, I feel like LA Knight has peaked, whereas Logan Paul, there's still room to grow right now when it comes to him.
If I'm power ranking the men on this list of future world heavyweight champions, Braun's one, Logan Paul's two. Like, I have Logan Paul ahead of Sammy, ahead of LA Knight, ahead of Jey Uso, ahead of Jacob Fatu.
That's fair. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. I think Logan Paul's two, if I'm power ranking their odds of being a future WWE champion.
Yeah, I'm good with all that. And also, to follow up on your point, Hood, about Jade and Bianca, I wonder if they can push it down the line enough to where we don't get those two one-on-one until Mania. Like, maybe the turn happens in a Rumble or something, and then Jade wins it in February, and we do it that way.
I mean, no problem
working right now as a team.
Yeah, no, I like the long-term booking. Like, at some point, one will give the side eye to the other, maybe around Rumble season.
Yep.
Maybe one – it's how it always works this way. One eliminates the other because they're supposed to be a tag team, even though it's for every woman, you know, is supposed to look out for themselves. One gets eliminated, Bianca or Jade gets pissed, match.
Yep. Because remember, they had the moment in this past year's Rumble where they just sort of stared off and didn't interact. I think that'd be a perfect way to do it.
Is there someone on the women's side that we're missing? I know that it'd be a deep dive if we went into the NXT market, but I think
Roxanne.
Maybe it's different in today's NXT WWE because of the relationship between Shawn and Hunter. But I feel like in past iterations, NXT success did not always translate to main roster success. So I think it's always hard to project. Rarely. Yes, I think so. So I think it's really hard to project somebody from NXT to have future, like to be that high up and to eventually be a top champion in the company.
Yeah, I think from my limited of watching NXT, I feel like Roxanne Perez could eventually be that. Like, she seems to be able to go every time I see her in the ring. It seems to be getting over the heel.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
they don't rush.
5 months ago, we'd have said Carmelo Hayes.
Correct.
Oh,
right.
So not
his fault. It's just, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a best of seven that he's going to be in here,
I guess.
Do you think, with Ric Flair's son-in-law, with Andrade, El Idolo, looks like a best of seven because it's 3-0 now, right? I think they've wrestled each other three times. It's 3-0. So it's like they're trying to do some kind of weird best of seven that we all don't need.
champion. That's a big deal.
the women on the outside looking in that I, again, it's like, I wish I'd see them get a little bit more of a push. I put Zelina Vega on there because I feel like the opportunities she's gotten, she's done good with them. So again, I want to see more of her to see if she could get pushed to that. And I still think there's something with Zoe Stark. I think there's something there. I'm not saying make her champion tomorrow, but I think there's something there that, like, 3 years from now, she can be a major player.
Fantastic dropkick, Zoe Stark. Fantastic. A strong dropkick. Just got to get the facials and just the personality across. I mean, you already are with two other badasses. You have to kind of stand out more. With more seasoning, it'll happen. And I have a FAU choice here, a long shot to be WWE champion, and that would be Joe Hendry.
That's a name. He is very over there.
He's more over in NXT than he is in his own company in TNA.
He can't win the Impact World title, but you're going to put the WWE title on him?
I think that his story is very compelling. Did you not get my video I sent you of young Joe Hendry against Kurt Angle?
Oh, I did not. I missed that.
You didn't see that? Yeah, he sent that.
I've seen that going around, but I haven't actually watched the match.
What is wrong with you, man? That's right up your alley.
Oh,
obscure UK wrestling.
That's the thing with Joe Hendry. I don't know how he actually is as a wrestler. He's all over my timeline. He's very entertaining. I'm into the music video. I don't know if I've seen him wrestle more than 5 minutes.
It's WWE. It doesn't matter.
That is fair.
It doesn't matter. He's over. He's over. So that's my FAU long, okay. Hold the Comrex long form pick of a WWE champion, Joe Hendry.
All right. One day.
Yeah. What do we got news and notes this week, Brian?
All right. The infamous photo of Tony Khan and Shane McMahon. Well, it's been talked about. Tony Khan with our friend Sedano and Cap on ESPN LA was asked about it, said, quote, "A mutual friend who is one of the bigger wrestling names linked us up and put us on a group chat. He said nothing wrong with a couple of people getting together to talk wrestling, and he enjoyed his time chatting with Shane."
Shane showing up, right?
Yeah.
But doing what?
Does he help the Elite?
I'm giving him a stake in the company. He can run ROH the way he wants to. And then hopefully that with his WBD deal, that'll be like in the mix where he could be the face of it. Like, he can't wrestle for me. And if he's on TV, is the big question, and this is when it gets closer and closer, it's going to be on the lower third here. Does Shane McMahon put butts in seats long term for AEW? And the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is no. But Hood, you brought that up last week, and I thought that was a fantastic idea. Again, having somebody with experience, having a McMahon involved, gives it intrigue, and it's going to get subscribers. Does it keep subscribers? Well, if he does a good job, yes, it would. But it gets you subscribers. Again, I said it last week. If Shane McMahon shows up tomorrow and, hey, he's running ROH, I guarantee you Browitz isn't canceling his subscription.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to check it out. I'm going to sign up for it. I got to see what this is all about. And if he does a good job, you're going to continue to tune in. Like, I mean, I don't know what the future is, but he's going to show up in AEW. Like, there's just too much smoke at this point.
But that moment when he shows up on AEW TV is a massive moment. Like, arguably bigger than the WCW angle. And like him showing up, oh, there's a McMahon on the list. Like, him showing up in another company with Vince still alive, like, that's a big moment.
It was strange to see him in that turtleneck in the hot sun in Florida, though. This style was very odd when he took over for WCW. The hot black turtleneck. I thought,
oh, it's going to be owned by a McMahon.
I thought that was just very strange. So, Broitz, when you're not here, Gabe and I get deep into the weeds about sports media rights.
Okay.
Because when we're together, it turns into a sports show because that's what we do. So
you have some experience doing that. I get it. Yeah,
so Gabe and I have fun like doing deep dives on the sports media tip. So I'll ask you this, sir. Do you believe that McMahon could be able to provide some influence to Tony to kind of push the ball over into the goal line for this new deal, like a McMahon being involved? Do you think, hey, McMahon is vouching for Tony, there's a relationship there, and WBD says, okay, because you're a McMahon, you understand about media rights and money and TV, okay, we can go with Tony here?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's still a name that carries a lot on the business side to where they can't ignore it. And if he's vouching for Tony and say, hey, no, this guy's legit, I feel like it does nothing but help.
God, that'd be such a long term for him to take over the company and then just sell it to his dad.
Could you imagine? Here you go, Dad. I did it for you.
Elsewhere in news and notes.
Just move on.
Okay. Fightful reporting the Lucha Brothers are expected to be leaving AEW when their contracts expire. And reports have them headed to the WWE.
Yeah, I saw there was a report out there that they're starting to trademark a lot of different names as well going forward. Again, whether that be for their own personal use, if they're going to the independents, if they're going to have those names or whatever in WWE. Penta has been, I feel, underused in AEW, because even when his brother's not around, and unfortunately, I'm a huge Rey Fénix fan, and he just hasn't been healthy. But, I mean, Penta's great as a singles wrestler. At the first All In, like, he was a singles wrestler, and then Jericho showed up to promote the singles match that they were going to have in New Japan, right? Like, I mean, he had a tremendous run. He doesn't have to be a tag team wrestler. So I'm hoping that they can, I'm hoping that they can get an opportunity, you know, if this is what they want over in WWE. Maybe that's best for Rey Fénix to work more of a WWE style for his own health. Is there hype man going to be following them to WWE? Like, just, do we know that? Because I feel he's been such a part of the presentation in AEW, where he just comes out and jumps around while he's wearing wide receiver gloves.
Hey, Alex, who? It's like, no, you go back and do your Spanish commentary for AEW. There's just no way. Even though the presentation was good with him, he established himself as a great hype man. It was a great look. You know, it's funny, these two, every time I see them live in Chicago, too, because I can only speak for the in-ring or in-arena experience, they get the second or third best pops on the night. Mm-hmm. Consistently. They're so good, man. And so without asking the question down the line, if they do go to WWE, no, they pass up NXT. They're too good for NXT. It's a SmackDown or Raw combination. They don't need to linger on Tuesdays. They need to be main roster attractions.
If they put Rey Fénix on NXT, I am going to flip out. All right? If he has to go wrestle whatever crap they've got down there before he makes it to the main roster.
Well, how do you feel when they end up in the main roster and they're teaming with Angel Garza and the other guy? It's like, hey, you guys are Spanish. You guys should be friends.
Well, no, they're going to beat the crap out of them. That's what they're going to do.
I know.
The tag team scene isn't exactly blowing everyone away when it comes to Triple H booking.
I hate that. I hate that so much. You guys know how much I love tag team. Good tag team wrestling. Well, I don't understand it. Just don't get it.
I'd have to give more thought on it, but if I were to put together my top five favorite matches in AEW, their cage match in Chicago against the Young Bucks is on the list.
Yeah.
The cage match they did. I can't remember what year it was, but I was there live. Like, and I was like, the energy when you're at AEW pay-per-view, there's just 1,000 matches. So the energy is just, you're kind of waning. Oh, looks like the Young Bucks are going to win. And all of a sudden you get a kick out and the place just erupted and the energy kicked to a different level. The Lucha Bros are something different. If you haven't seen them live, can't recommend them more.
Yes, you got all these different factions of give divas a chance, then give women a chance, then give black wrestlers a chance. You know, we get all this stuff, man, and we can't give tag team wrestling a chance. Where's the push for the great tag teams? I got to go online and find grizzled young veterans doing a promo from some peer saying, we're going to New Japan. Grizzled young veterans. Grizzled young veterans. It's like, can it just work here in America, for God's sakes?
And hopefully it changes in WWE, because like, if they're adding them, if they're adding Motor City Machine Guns, who have been rumored, like,
oh God.
Maybe, but
I mean, they've added AOP.
They
know,
have.
So clearly, you know, they're on your television every week.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, they're on television every week. They're out there.
Soon to be the World Tag Team Champions, grizzled young veterans. We're in some outpost because we couldn't make it in the big companies, but we are telling you to grit your teeth. We'll see you in your backyard providing great tag team wrestling.
Did not know you're such a grizzled young veteran fan. Well, their old home, NXT, they're going to have a new home in October, head to the CW October 1st, and they're going to be on the road October 1st in Chicago, October 8th in St. Louis. And guess what? NXT is bringing some friends. That October 1st show in Chicago, CM Punk will be on that show. October 8th in St. Louis, Randy Orton will be on that show.
No, look at that.
Now let's keep our eyes on October 8th now, because that's NXT against AEW. AEW Dynamite. That'll be a Tuesday instead of Wednesday. I think baseball playoffs push them off a Wednesday. So let's have a head-to-head. We have a special show, everybody. NXT against AEW on that particular Tuesday. Now, over-under, I'll set it at 11,000 fans over under for the NXT show in the massive Allstate Arena for this NXT show. Over under, even with Punk being on the card. Oh no, maybe
Punk's not on the card.
Yeah.
Punk's on the card, it's over. Yeah, Punk's going to be there. They've already advertised Punk. It's going to hit the over.
So how about Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Unless there's a buildup where he is in the ring, all we know is he's going to start the show in a promo. What right. he yeah. should do, what he should do, is wrestle and be in a tag team match with a young wrestler to give the young wrestler a rub, like Trick Williams or whomever they have. It should be a tag team where he gives a rub to the young person, and I think that that works that way. Otherwise, it's a promo with him and Sean. That's right. what it is.
That's fair.
So that I think that's the better booking. But I don't know if you guys thought of the same thing. It's like Enterprise Center in St. Louis. That's the home of the St. Louis Blues, huge place. Allstate Arena, like the hub of WWE in Chicago. I'm like, they didn't take the small buildings this time for NXT. They took the big buildings. Okay.
Only the best for the CW.
And they don't know, by the way, if they're going to continue to tour. I think this is just a kind of kicking off on the CW, you know, tour type thing, and then they'll be back down in Orlando.
It's after 7 o'clock Central Time. Well, is anyone running the board, or will they go out the yard like live golf? Sorry, everyone, it's time to go, but you can watch the rest on the CW.com. So long, everybody.
You can forget about any sort of, you know, overtime, right? There's no overrun for NXT now that they're on the CW.
That's the most hilarious thing. I'm comfortable in the hood cave watching that live golf on CW, and all of a sudden it gets dark. 5:55. Sorry, we have to go because we have a rerun of
Family
something.
Feud, man. People got to watch the feud.
So no one runs the board after 6, so you have to watch the rest on CW.com. So long. It's the 17th hole. Where are you going?
Gotta go.
What do you mean? You can't leave.
Finally, in news and notes, Becky Lynch's biography aired this past Sunday. Afterwards, she made an Instagram post that included, "It's been a hell of a career." Fightful reports, though, she has not told the WWE about any retirement plans.
Yeah, I mean, she's still listed, by the way, as I wouldn't have noticed this unless we did the exercise we did earlier of going through the roster, you know, just kind of making sure I didn't miss any names for future WWE. She's still listed there. She's not under contract, still listed on the active WWE roster. I fully expect her to come back to WWE at some point. Or I guess, I mean, unless she figures out, you know, something else she wants to try. But the WWE, she's not wrestling anywhere but WWE. They're going to give her every sort of option to come back if she wants to.
Does she come back as a different person? A different name? Or is she going to come back as Becky Lynch?
She's coming back as Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, there's too much, like, there's no way, there's too much merchandise to be sold.
I just don't know why it's just like I'm taking care of my family right now and then I'll be back like at Royal Rumble or whatever, right? I just don't know what the mystery is.
Yeah, that's what sort of makes me think that maybe there will be something else.
Heel? I don't know. Like, she's done it all. Remember what she told us, Brian. Gabe, remember what she told us? Like, you know, what else do you want to do in the business? And she says, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Like, all right. Someone's satisfied with life.
Which, again, maybe that means she's not going to come back. You know, maybe she's kind of looked around and gone, hey, I've done everything. Let's see if I can figure out something out. And maybe that's within wrestling and maybe that's somewhere else. Maybe she has an itch to try, you know, wrestling in Japan in early January, let's say. Here, there's a big show that always happens there.
Oh, report you. Be careful. You're going to get aggregated.
Yeah, right. Well, I just have a hard time picturing her in AEW. But if she wants to, if she wants to continue wrestling and try something outside of WWE, that would make the most sense to me.
But I'm on board with that.
How about her being the third member of Grizzled Young Veterans? What about that? Just the third member. Soon to become.
I don't understand where this Grizzled Young Veterans obsession has come from, Hood. I'm very confused.
I just think it's funny.
Are they paying you to promote them? Like, I don't know.
Like, are you the third member of the Grizzled Young Veterans?
I just think it's hilarious. It popped up in my feed. I'm what are they doing?
Stop
now?
Watching the promo.
Yeah, just
are
it's
they
just
in the waiting room right now. Are they joining the show?
I think it's funny. Those guys just popping up and it's like, what? Where are they now? It's amazing. I love tag team wrestling. You know how good they were, you know?
Yeah.
I'll ask you just quickly, do you guys miss Becky Lynch on WWE TV?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think we're okay. Like, there's enough going on in the women's division.
Right. You miss you miss Charlotte Flair on WWE TV?
No.
Okay.
Like, do I think if Becky was on Raw, like, okay, we talked about how Raw was fantastic this past Monday. If Becky was on it, do I think it would have been better? Yeah, probably. But there are so many other really good things going on that you don't really miss her, right? I think that's the way I look at it. Like, she would certainly enhance the show, but they've got a lot of other things going on where you don't think about it.
Yeah. All
right. What did you boys have for your matches of the week?
Well, let me just get this out the way. Nick Nemeth against Mustafa Ali. That was the main event of last week's TNA Impact. I think Mustafa is finishing up at TNA. They went I think so. They went 30 minutes. Ali already lost his X Division Championship, and so that matchup really delivered. Nick Nemeth, again, it's about awareness, but he's been really good lately on the mic and in the ring. So I just thought, give that a cursory mention. Well, I mean, he's been in it 20 years. He can slow down. But he has not.
Well, that's because WWE basically forced him to slow down by, you know, never putting him on television.
So that's one match. And of course, we had our SummerSlam report, and I think there's a lot of matches that we liked there as well.
Yep, I think Rhea Liv from Saturday. I enjoyed the six-man last night, Orange Cassidy and FTR versus Rush, Roddy, and Beast Mordos.
I did too.
That match didn't have to be that good, but it was. Like, I really enjoyed it.
The Beast Mortis thing was supposed to be temporary, but he's become like a fan favorite now. That guy is really good.
I don't get it, but I love it.
I usually only watch that guy WrestleMania weekends in some random barn. Like, he's a staple of Mania weekends working indie shows, and now seeing him on TV every week is like, yeah, this guy's really good. He's a lot of fun.
We mentioned Kyle Fletcher and MJF. That was the best match on Dynamite. However, I will tip my cap to Danielson and Jeff Jarrett because that's the best Jeff Jarrett can do. Like, that was that could have been his retirement match, quite frankly. I mean, it's fine. Bryan Danielson seems ready to go. Then you got an overrun of Swerve Strickland. Boy, I tell you what, they could have ended it right there, but no, let's do another 6 minutes where Swerve's going after Bryan Danielson. But I just thought that Anything Goes match was as good as it can be with an aging Jeff Jarrett.
What I like the way they set it up.
Like, where are we going with Jarrett?
Jarrett could take on Hangman.
Mm-hmm.
That very well could be a match at Wembley.
Okay.
Kind of seems that we're going in that direction.
Okay. Yeah.
So just another tack on that card, I would say.
Casino Bauer, All In, or one of those matches also added last night to All In.
Yeah, the Casino, I think you said Casino Gauntlet Battle match. Royal.
No, Gauntlet Casino Gauntlet, yes. Okay. Casino Gauntlet.
Casino Gauntlet, which will determine yet another title opportunity.
Right.
They got to stack them in AEW, boy. Pac's still waiting.
Got one coming for him.
Darby's got one. Pac's got one. Claudio's got one.
Is Claudio Darby's at Wembley?
Darby's cashing his TNT one in because he's going to face the scapegoat, which, by the way, did your guys' scapegoat promo or cut out for a Taco Bell ad last night?
That wasn't just in Milwaukee. That was worldwide.
Okay.
Yes. Worldwide.
Find out about the Jungle Boy endorsement right now. That's not how that was.
Apparently not. That's happening at Wembley. So Darby at least is getting his cash in opportunity.
But he also has a world title opportunity at Arthur Ashe.
That's right.
He won the, I don't know what they call it, the two ring battle royal.
Yeah.
So and by the way, guys, we talk about all these opportunities. They're not all for the 25th because they got to fill out the card in Chicago too for All Out. Right. So some of those opportunities will be in Chicago on September 7th. By the way, speaking of Arthur Ashe, I sent you guys an email, a text right before we went on.
Yeah.
Did you guys take? You want to read that attendance, Brian?
Yeah, there's not great numbers there as they get set for Arthur Ashe, which will have a Darby Allin world title match, of course. So, looking at the attendance number, 2021, 20,177 in Arthur Ashe. 2022, 13,800. 2023, 11,263. 2024, which will be taking place in about a month and a half, 3,442.
company's cool.
That's a low number.
It's cold. Ice cold.
Yeah.
What do they do? I don't even know what they do. I don't have an answer.
It's a different show, longer topic.
For those who care, also 622,000 last night's Dynamite ratings.
Okay.
Which it's ballpark with the Olympics.
Yeah.
Ballpark against baseball. It's ballpark against the WNBA.
Yeah.
Well, but again, 600,000, you know, that's going to get them a TV contract, man.
Yes.
Yeah. I said this when they first started. Man, to be able to get butts in seats on a Wednesday, to have people come to the TV on a Wednesday to watch your product, if you get anybody, it's a plus. That's a win. Wednesday, to be able to get the kids in the car on a school night or on a work night, knowing you got stuff to do. You pay for parking, you go in there on a Wednesday night, and to get anybody in there at any arena in this country is a win. Not a Monday, not a Friday, not a Saturday. A Wednesday, pretty damn good. I give them credit. Give them credit. So you have that. Don't forget, guys, that I'm on Busted Open every Sunday from 8 to 11 a.m. Central Time on Fight Nation Channel 156. So it's an extension of GKW, but it's on SiriusXM Fight Nation. So hope you get a chance to tune in.
Yeah, it's always a great listen. If you're driving around your car Sunday morning, make sure you check out Hoodie over on SiriusXM, Busted Open, and make sure you're subscribing to the YouTube channel. See all the great things we have going on, like, again, the special live show we did after SummerSlam this past week, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. We are building towards Wembley. We're excited for it. We're building towards Bash in Berlin. They've already got a match announced for that. We'll talk about it all next week right here.